Lord, we thank you for Jesus, and it's in his name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. You know, tonight we come and we put a period at the end of a long sentence that Adam talked about a little bit earlier, the story of God's love. And we have been tracing that all year. And it seems to me that this is a good time to bring the story of God's love, that big story, to a close, because we really are thinking about God's love shown to us in a special, in a unique way that is really like nothing else in the history of humanity. But, you know, here's the thing. When some people hear the word God, or maybe they hear the word church, unfortunately, love is not the first thing that comes to mind, is it? I mean, for some people, when they think about God, what immediately comes to mind, the image of God, is this old man with a big quill pen and a parchment, and he is looking down on the face of the earth, and he is writing just as fast as he can, and he is keeping track of the sins of every single human being on the face of the earth, and he's enjoying it. Because he just can't wait for the day that's going to come and he gets to zap everybody for all the bad stuff that they've done. Now, why do people have that image? Well, sometimes they have that image because people like me stand in places like this during services like the one we're having tonight, and they sort of create that image, unfortunately. Or maybe it's the image that people just sort of hear in the culture, or they're taught by family even, but it's clear to me that if people have been part of church and that's how they see God, then somewhere along the way the church has failed. Because that's really not the image of God that we see in Scripture. And sometimes we can get our images of people messed up. When we listen to what someone says about another person, sometimes we get the wrong impression of that third person. Happened to me years ago. I was in seventh grade. My best friend was an eighth grader. So he would tell me about this terrible, awful PE teacher that everybody had to have in eighth grade. So I knew I was going to have this teacher next year. And he was always talking about what a jerk he was and how he was terrible to the kids and he didn't know what he was talking about. He was sarcastic, had no sense of humor, just really a miserable teacher. And so when the first day of eighth grade came for me, I mean, that's the day we all enjoyed, right? I wasn't really excited about that class. In fact, I'd been dreading it all along because this teacher was just so terrible. And you know, it wasn't long till I realized that everything my friend had told me about this teacher was completely wrong. Like, this guy seemed to love all the kids that he was teaching, and he had a terrific sense of humor, and he was really interested in us. And even those of us who were not very athletic, he was super encouraging with the PE stuff that we were doing, and I found him to be, like, one of the best examples of what it means to be a Christian man that I had in all of my schooling. But if I'd just taken my friend's word for it, I would have missed out. And sometimes when we take other people's word for what God is like, we can miss out. I mean, maybe if our understanding of God is that he's just really angry, maybe we've heard it from an angry person. But what does the Bible actually say? Now, you know, not surprising, that's a question we could spend the rest of our lives talking about. What does the Bible say about God? Well, it says a lot. But we have been talking about that this year, and even if you haven't been with us this year, I think tonight's message can still be meaningful to you, because I want us to think just really quickly tonight about some basics about what the Bible says about who God is. And the place I want to begin is with our theme verse that we've been repeating all year long. Psalm 36:5 says this, "Your love, Lord, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies." Now, this is a psalmist who's writing a poem or a song about God. And he's praising God for his very nature. But here's what we know. The scriptures that we find described by the New Testament of the Old Testament tell us that they are God-breathed, that they are inspired. Now, I don't think that God dictated every single word that we find in the Bible. I think what God did was use real people and use their ability and experience and personality and command of language to give us the book that we need. But somewhere along the way, God inspired the writer of Psalm 36 to say, here's something I want to be praised for. My love. What I want people to know about me is my deep love for humanity. And the fact that that love cannot be measured. You can't put a number on it. You can't find the end of it. Your love, Lord, reaches to the heavens. Now, we talk about love in lots of different ways, and we use that word to mean lots of different things. And clearly, we're not talking about God's romantic love for us. Or it's not even God's friendly kind of love for us. It's something different. It's a specific word that's used a lot of times in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word hesed. And what it means is, it means love, but it could be translated loving kindness. Sometimes it is. Sometimes it's translated kindness. Sometimes it's translated faithfulness. Here it's love. And it points to the fact that God has made amazing promises to his people. And more than that, he keeps those promises. That if God says something, we can depend on the fact that it is true. And if God says something is going to happen, we can depend on the fact that it's going to happen. And that's a reason to praise God. That's what the psalmist is telling us. Under God's direction, that God wants to be praised for his love and his faithfulness. We could turn to another passage. Maybe the best known passage in the whole Bible. John 3:16, and I want to read verse 17 as well. You probably know it. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. So here in the New Testament, we hear John telling us that God is all about love. The reason we're celebrating the birth of Jesus tonight is because God loves us. Now, it's a different word because the New Testament is written in a different language than the Old Testament, but this word means God's self-sacrificing, God's self-giving love. And the way that shows up is that he sent his Son. He sent his Son to bring salvation to the world. So if we're thinking about God sitting up in heaven, writing down the sins of all of humanity, well, sure, God knows all that stuff. I don't doubt that. But it's not because he enjoys it. In fact, God has worked everything to bring us the salvation that we need. And so we see the words of the psalmist, your love, Lord, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies. We see that fulfilled when John says, for God so loved the world. And clearly tonight, we see the example of what we read in Luke chapter 2. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. And Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available. All of those promises, all of God's covenant love, God's love that says, I keep my promises, and when I say something will happen, it happens. All the words of the prophets that pointed forward to Jesus, well, the beginning of that fulfillment, right there on that night in Bethlehem. Why? Because God loves us. So what's the lesson? If we're thinking about the nature of God, what's the lesson? God does more than talk about love. We can talk about a lot of things. We can talk about doing a lot of things. But God doesn't just talk. God acts. And we have been telling about those actions all the way through this year, and tonight we have come together to celebrate the heart of this story that he came in human form because he loves us. He doesn't just talk about love. Now, if our view of God is that he's just angry, we're going to miss out on who he is. If we think it's all about punishment, we're going to miss out on the real view of what God is really like. Because if we think that God just revels in punishing human beings for what they've done wrong, we've missed it. Because the whole story says, yes, we deserve punishment, we deserve death, we know the sins we've committed, we're very aware of all that, but God has moved heaven and earth to bring us salvation so that he would take the punishment that we deserve. So our image of God, it shouldn't be like that group of kids, that family that's in the grocery store. You've seen them. The kids are running around. We call them a buggy in the South. I know y'all call them a cart, but whatever it is, they're running around there. You know, mom, dad, whoever's with them, they're not happy. They're fussing at them the whole way through. You can hear them three aisles over. You know there's a disaster just waiting to happen. And then you happen to be there in that moment when one of those kids picks up a pickle jar. And they're just trying to put it in the cart, right? And they just don't get it right over the edge. And it comes down on the floor. And everything goes everywhere. And you have seen the look that child's eyes when they look up that parent who's already been screaming all the way through the store. And they know what's coming. And they know everybody's going to see it. And everybody's going to hear it. But that's not God. That is not God who sent his son to die on a cross for my sins and yours. What we've come together to celebrate tonight is that we serve a God who deeply loves us. He loves us so much that he was willing to watch his son die on a cross so that I wouldn't have. And that's the good news that we've been telling this whole year, and that's the good news of the Christmas story. And so tonight, I hope we walk away and just erase that picture of a God in heaven just waiting to zap us for everything we've ever done wrong in our whole lives. We know we deserve it. We don't have to be told that. But what we have is a God who chose to come in the form of a baby in Bethlehem. We have a God who is the God who created all things, God who is Lord of lords. Let's sing about a God who is King of kings.